You're listening to The Point. We are talking about books on love with Jill Erickson, reference librarian at Falmouth Public Library, and Melanie Lowers, books editor at the Cape Cod Times. Jill, you brought one on animals.
I did, because who doesn't love some animal or other, right?
This is animal love between animals.
This is really unusual animal love. It's called One Big Happy Family, Heartwarming Stories of Animals Caring for One Another, which is exactly what, by Lisa Rogak. And it is amazing. They have foxes who have bonded with kittens. It has a cat who has bonded with baby chicks. And it tells all these fabulous stories. Plus, they have great photographs of the animals. The lioness and the antelope calf. One of my favorites was when there was a family who had a cat, and they had a squirrel that had been hurt, and it was a little baby squirrel they found, and they took this little baby squirrel and gave it to the cat. There were actually two cats that were both had kittens, and they just put the little baby squirrel in there. But first they sprayed the little baby squirrel with Chanel No. 5, because that was the perfume that the mother wore, so they were hoping that the cats wouldn't freak out smell of the squirrel. And so they did that, put the little baby squirrel in with the kittens, and sure enough, both cats began to let the little baby squirrel feed.
Just want to put it out there. Not legal. Don't bring the squirrels in. Not legal.
I thought you were going to say Chanel No. 5.
They have wildlife rehabilitators for that.
They have. Well, I'm sure this was on a farm somewhere far away. But the photo of the Springer Spaniel who's feeding a baby lamb with a bottle. I mean, they just are so sweet. And you cannot get, truer love than the love between these animals.
Cute.
It's very sweet.
All right. Romantic love. What have you got, Melanie?
Romantic love. Okay. Well, besides my mystery house, I did bring a really lovely book called Love's Ripening, Rumi for the Heart's Journey. And these are poems, and they're dripping with romance. And I do mean drippy. Dripping. Rumi was a Sufi poet from the 13th century. And to look at the shelves at any local bookstore, he's still very popular. And I think the reason is that these are love poems in the extreme. That if you can think of poetry that has no other purpose except to sort of express the heart, Rumi is one of those kind. And here's a section called Feminine and Divine, and a poem called Heaven and Earth Do Intelligent Work. These are poems for real readers. Surely there is a window from heart to heart. They are not separate or far from each other. Though two earthenware lamps are not joined, their light mingles. No lover seeks union without the beloved also seeking, but the love of lovers makes the body thin as a bowstring, while the love of loved ones makes them shapely and pleasing. And the whole poem, and this goes on for pages, so I would suggest candlelight. I would suggest some warm beverage.
A bottle of wine.
Yeah, a beverage that either starts out warm or ends up warm. And, some quiet time. And I'm not a therapist, but I would say that that reading these poems to someone you love is bound to provide some kind of spark.
Oh, there you go.
Yes.
All right, what have you got,
Well,
Jill?
I also brought some romantic poems, and I love this book because they are both beautiful poems, but it is also it's one of these heartbreaking books. It's called Love and Index by Rebecca Lindenberg. And it is heartbreaking because when she started this book in 2006, she was living with a poet named Craig Arnold. And Craig Arnold disappeared while hiking around a Japanese volcano in 2009. So it starts out as being sort of he's alive love poems, and then becomes he's dead love poems, which are very different. But what she has done is taken lots of different forms of poems. So one of the biggest sections of here is actually the Love and Index section, and it is really as much prose as it is poetry. So, for example, she has love, what we call it when it keeps feeling that way. But what is it? A private language, emotion ever towards, a memory the body keeps of those palms on my flank, and must it be a kind of mourning? as in MOURING. And so she goes through the entire alphabet with this, with various pieces. And for another one that she has is words I love. For instance, radio, milk, diaphanous, and smudge. This has to do with their sound, ways they mean, and how they look unsurrounded on a page or written in marker across the back of a hand, as you used to do when you didn't want to forget. So there's this great sadness in this book, but there's also this great love. And she also amazingly has a great sense of humor. So you would not, I mean, just when you're ready to, oh my gosh, I'm just, you know, this
is too
much. The
Kleenex is gone.
The Kleenex box is empty. Then she has something like this, which is, this is her called status update. And she has several of these. And it's essentially her imagined Facebook status updates. Rebecca Lindenberg is drinking whiskey. Feels guilty, is caught in one of those feedback loops, is a blankety blank, is a trollop, a floozy, a brazen hussy, would like to add you as a friend, would like to add you as an informant, would like to add you as her dark marauder, as her lord and savior, has trouble with boundaries. Rebecca Lindenberg is keeping lonesomeness at bay with frequent status updates designed to elicit a thumbs up icon from you. Rebecca Lindenberg likes this, dismisses this with a backhanded wave. Rebecca Lindenberg wraps her legs around this, has a ball of string you can follow out of her labyrinth. Has this labyrinth. Rebecca Lindenberg has high hopes. And it goes on and on about all of her various needs and wants. And it's very funny. I mean, and again, it's this heartbreaking story that she has experienced, but she is able to sort of transcend, and it's both great love poetry and sort of funny love poetry. And she, one of the other very funny sections in this book is called Losing Language, a Phrase Book. And she talks about, it's really sort of dark humor, all the things that people say to you after somebody has died and what they really mean. So he lived a good life. I envied him a little. My condolences. You look like you've been trying to drown yourself. My sympathies. I fear to say something that might make it worse. And she goes on and on about all the things that are behind the things that are people telling to you. But it's also just a beautiful book. And it, in fact, is the first book of poetry that McSweeney's Poetry has put out. And so this is a new series that they're starting. And I think they're off to a great start.
Yeah. We have some more poetry, since we're talking poetry.
We do. I had my doubts about this because it's about love. So that's why I went for it. It's called It's Not You, It's Me, The Poetry of Breakup, edited and introduced by Jerry Williams. And it came out in 2010. The author teaches creative writing at Marymount Manhattan College. And there are over 90 poems by 38 contemporary writers, including many that you'll recognize. In his introduction, he says, "When I see a breakup on the horizon, I grease myself down for the inevitable descent into hell. I quickly arrange for therapist and pills. I warn my friends. I stock up on bananas and peanut butter, and I place the elegant volumes of, say, Mark Strand and the poet I on the nightstand. I post the gym hours on the refrigerator. When I'm inside a breakup, the business of life slows to a crawl, and the thought of one person occupies my entire imagination. I doubt the ragged wisdom I've accrued is worth the mental and physical toll exacted by the experience." It's like saying you're really good at getting struck by lightning. I absolutely love this. And he does write quite a few of the poems of the book, but here's just an absolutely wonderful one. It's called The Night Before Leaving by Linda Gregg. We sit at the kitchen table waiting for some opening, for the proper handling of goodbye, going deeper and deeper into the hours like slow divers sinking in their heavy gear. We look at each other, gesturing which way to go, through the lamplight, garbage bags, dishes in the sink and on the table. We surface in a kind of dream. The boat touches ground, grinds onto the rocks. We get out, and it floats again. Many of these are of that level of intensity. And here's another one I found that I just absolutely fell in love with. And this is by Dennis Johnson, who I think most people know better as a novelist, but it's called Sway. Since I find you will no longer love, from bar to bar in terror I shall move, past 43rd and Halsted, 24th and Roosevelt, where fire-gutted cars, their bones, the bones of coyote and hyena, suffer the light from the wrestling arena to fall all over them. And what they say blends in the tarantulasmic sway of all of us between the two of these, harmony and divergence. Their sad story of harmony and divergence, the story that begins, I did not know who she was, and ends, I did not know who she was.
Mm.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it really is.
Absolutely amazing. So this is, I would recommend this because it is about love, even if it's about love that's over, because all love that's over, generally there's love on the way. Mm-hmm. And so the breakup is a middle period for, I think, in most people's experience. And so these poems, even if they're about that end point, they all suggest the next point, which I think is interesting.
What have you got, Jill?
And this is a very similar type of collection. This is a collection called You Drive Me Crazy, Love Poems for Real Life. And one of the things I really like about it is the way they've broken it up by the different types of love. So they start with ecstasy, then stability, then monotony, then moving on to uncertainty, misery, and clarity. So they, depending
funny.
On where you are in the love stream, you'll have a poem in here. And the poems are really lovely. And a lot of them are classic poems, but they also have a sprinkling of more modern poems. This one is by James Laughlin, and it's called I Want to Breathe. And this, may I say, is in the ecstasy section, which we'll start there. I want to breathe you in. I'm not talking about perfume or even the sweet odor of your skin, but of the air itself. I want to share your air, inhaling what you exhale. I'd like to be that close, two of us breathing each other as one as that.
I want to say smothering.
Well, moving along to stability, this is actually a poem called Valentine, written by Donald Hall. I think you'll like this. Chipmunks jump and green snakes slither, rather burst than not be with her. Bluebirds fight, but bears are stronger. We've got 50 years or longer. Hop toads hop, but hogs are fatter. Nothing else but us can matter.
Now that's my kind of poem. I like that one.
You know, I was actually thinking about Donald Hall because he wrote those beautiful poems about his relationship with poet Jane Kenyon, and then about her illness, and then after she passed away, his life without her. He continued to write about Jane for a long time, still does. Mm. And those are amongst, I think, some of the most beautiful contemporary love poems I've ever read.
Yeah. And actually, in this book, there are some poems by her as well. So they have both sides of that love story.
Is that it for poetry?
That's it for poetry.
Let's move on to children's.
Children's.
Yeah, what have you got?
Well, I found a book that I would have loved as a little girl because I was very attached to my dolls. Mm-hmm. And I still have some of them that I keep. But I had very strong relationships with my dolls. And I think this book sort of explores that better than any I've ever seen. It's called You Know What I Love. And it's by Lorena Siminovich. And it's new. The writer, an illustrator of more than 20 kids' books. And this is the story told from the doll's point of view to her little girl who owns her. And it's absolutely adorable. The illustrations are very colorful. They're very sort of a straight edge, very simple. They're not watercolors or anything like that. And it just says, it's one of the 32-page children's picture books. You know what I love? That every morning, no matter what, you always say, today is going to be a beautiful day. That you let me help pick out what we wear. And I think I remember having an imagination like that. That we always make new friends together. And I love that you blow me kisses when it's time to leave. And the book goes on and on like that. But it's absolutely lovely because for any little girl or boy, for that matter, who invests their toys and their dolls with humanity, the thought that they love you back is kind of a given in a way. Mm-hmm. But this is the first time I've ever seen it sort of quantified. And it involves all the things that kids do together, taking their dolls into the bathtub, reading books with them, getting ready for bed at night. And then at the end, it says, "And I love when you hug me and whisper, I love you to the sky and back." And it's absolutely gorgeous. Yeah. And I think any child would really appreciate this book. And I think it's the kind of thing that can be read over and over again.
What have you got, Jill?
I have one of the most beautiful love stories ever that is a children's book and really for sort of ages 7 and up. But may I say, adults, I am quite sure will love this as well as I did. It's called The Miraculous Journey of Edward Tulane by Kate DiCamillo. And it is about a rabbit. And it's interesting that you were just talking about that book, because this is a rabbit who is a doll. And the beginning states, "Once in a house on Egypt Street, there lived a rabbit who was made almost entirely of china. He had china arms and china legs, china paws and a china head, a china torso and a china nose. His arms and legs were jointed and joined by wire so that his china elbows and china knees could be bent, giving him much freedom of movement. His ears were made of real rabbit fur, and beneath the fur there were strong, bendable wires, which allowed the ears to be arranged into poses that reflected the rabbit's mood, jaunty, tired, full of ennui. His tail, too, was made of real rabbit fur and was fluffy and soft and well-shaped. The rabbit's name was Edward Tulane, and he was tall. He measured almost 3 feet from the tip of his ears to the tip of his feet. His eyes were painted a penetrating and intelligent blue. In all, Edward Tulane felt himself to be an exceptional specimen." So Edward Tulane is the rabbit, and we follow the rabbit through his story. And his story begins with this little girl in this very nice family, and they set him at the dining table, and he's very happy. And then they take the Queen Mary. And when they're on the Queen Mary, these two boys start fighting over the rabbit, and the rabbit ends at the bottom of the ocean. Ooh. And we then follow Edward Tulane through all of his various adventures as a fisherman picks him up, finds him in the ocean, brings him home. The first couple, she falls in love with this rabbit, but decides the rabbit is really a girl, and so starts making all these frilly little dresses for the rabbit. And it's just, and then every chapter is basically another story about what happens to this doll, but it's really all about love. And at the end, Edward's talking about that, because from the beginning, he knows that he's missing something. He doesn't quite understand what love is. But then he says towards the end, and he's been through, again, many owners and had many adventures, "I have already been loved," said Edward. "I've been loved by a girl named Abilene. I have been loved by a fisherman and his wife and a hobo and his dog. I have been loved by a boy who played the harmonica and by a girl who died. Don't talk to me about love," he said. "I have known love." Mm-hmm. And it's sweet. Just so sweet. And then he goes on talking about what you have to do in order to love. And it goes, "Open your heart," she said gently. "Someone will come. Someone will come for you. But first you must open your heart." The door closed. The sunlight disappeared. "Someone will come." Edward's heart stirred. He thought for the first time in a long time of the house on Egypt Street and of Abilene winding his watch and then bending toward him and placing it on his left leg, saying, "I will come home to you." "No, no," he told himself. "Don't believe it. Don't let yourself believe it." But it was too late. Someone will come for you. The China rabbit's heart had begun again to open.
We are talking about books on love with Jill Erickson, reference librarian at Falmouth Public Library, and Melanie Lauer's books editor at the Cape Cod Times. We'll have more after a quick break.